eat.
This is my body. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Let's sing together.
Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put on his own clothes, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
Spotless Lamb of God was he. lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a
Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus who went to the cross on our behalf, for our sin, in our place. Father, we pray that you would be glorified as we open up your word to look into the glories of our Savior. Soften our hearts to this gospel and point us to Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen.
If you have a Bible with you, we're going to spend just a few moments tonight in Hebrews chapter 2. In fact, the same place we were last Sunday. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, which says this, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Amen. What is it that we're here to do tonight? Good Friday, in some sense, is a sad and somber day. There's of course, a sense of mourning that Good Friday carries with it. After all, it's the sinless Savior who died. We're talking about death, but as we meditate on the person and work of Jesus tonight, it cannot be done from a sense that there was a loss or a failure. I love competition. You probably know that. If I'm going to get myself invested into something, it has to have some air of competition about it for me to stay interested. I'll have to make up competition in my head if there's no competition to be had, just to keep myself interested in something. Even if I have to figure out how to compete with myself. There's a sadness, or perhaps an anger or a frustration, that comes with losing a competition. That's not the type of sadness that we should be feeling tonight, if there is a sadness that we're feeling. Because there was no failure at the cross. There was no failure at the cross. Jesus, in fact, did not lose his life. That's how we talk at funerals or of a loved one or someone who has died. We talk about someone losing their life. Jesus did not lose his life. It was given up. And so what's true about Sunday, I'm talking about this coming Sunday, Easter, what's true about Sunday is also true about today, Friday, and tomorrow, Saturday. The disciples didn't necessarily see that as they were mourning what they saw as the loss of their friend. They didn't necessarily see that what was true of this coming Sunday, because they, even though they were told, didn't know the resurrection was going to happen. What's true about Sunday is also true about Friday and Saturday. Jesus' death was a victory for the triune God. There was no losing here. And so we're in this place where we are remembering what is the death of our Savior. And of course it's sad because we know he went to the cross because of our sin. So listen to this verse again. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. This tasting of death by Jesus was a victory. And because of this victory, the Father crowned him with glory and honor. Have you ever thought about that before? What does this word tasting mean? I know we just looked at this Sunday, but what does it mean to taste death? It doesn't mean that he just got a hint of it or didn't experience it fully. What it means to taste something, it means that he experienced the full experience of death. Death is an awful thing. Horror, suffering. The text is telling us here that our Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Savior tasted death for us. When you and I experience our physical deaths, it will not be a victory. Death is ugly. I don't know how many of you have been able to be there as someone is dying, but it is an ugly thing. It's an awful thing. In fact, as you're sitting there and someone is dying in front of you, you can feel the presence of death in the room. It's like another person shows up and death is there. It is an ugly thing. It's the great equalizer. And no person gets through death with dignity. This notion that someone could die a dignified death, it's an oxymoron. It can't be had. Death, by definition, is not dignified. It is the ultimate effects of sin and the fall finally crushing you until you no longer live. It's not victorious. And yet, what we see in this text here is that Jesus experienced the horrors and the sufferings of death, but he did it victoriously. The text says that he tasted it, and he tasted it for everyone. It says he tasted it for us all. And that because of him tasting death, because of his suffering of death, the Father crowned him with glory and honor. That Jesus received the glory and honor due his name because of his victorious death on the cross. What does it mean that he tasted it for us? It means that Jesus bore the weight, not just of a physical death on our behalf, but the eternal weight of our sin in his death. That is, his death was substitutionary, him in our place. Believer, there is a suffering and a horror to death that you will not experience because Jesus tasted it for you. That's what's so good that we are celebrating. That unless the Lord comes before we get there, we will experience physical death. But because Jesus tasted death for us, we will not experience the horrors and the sufferings of death because of sin and the fall. He took that for us. He drank death's cup. And though death is coming, when we open our eyes, we will see him who stood condemned in our place. Not our judge, but our Savior. And this text tells us how wonderful is this at the beginning, that we see him now. We'll see him then, but we see him now. We don't simply look upon him once. This text here isn't talking about a one-time experience that we as believers have. It's not talking about an every now and then, once a year we come together on a Good Friday and we remember that Jesus died, that the one who went to the cross did it to stand in our place. What the text says is that we see him. That is what our continual stance is. We wake up every morning and our eyes gaze upon the one who stood condemned in our place. We see him who, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. Our daily view is of the crucified Christ who stood in our place, facing the horrors of the wrath of God that we deserve, so that with him we would be crowned with glory and honor. What a wonderful Savior we have. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. It is so good what you have seen fit to do in the person and work of your Son. This was not a loss in that death came out of nowhere unexpectedly and took the life of our Savior. But Father, at every step, he willingly submitted to your divine will. And even as he was hanging on the cross, he was the one who gave up his life, saying, "It is finished." Victoriously giving himself on our behalf, Father. We thank you that he tasted death for all kinds of people. So that we who are in this room, all kinds of people, stand here before our Father and our Savior, not condemned, but welcomed into the family of God. Justified. Jesus giving us his perfect righteousness and taking our guilt and sin on himself, Father. What a Savior. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We are looking forward to Sunday, where we will celebrate with all the saints. Not just the crucifixion of Jesus, but the resurrection and the exaltation of Jesus to your right hand. Father, be glorified in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I'm going to switch mics here. But we have these treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Amen.
Sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thine only crown, how pale thou art with with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners gain. Transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Though here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, assist me by and save me by thy grace. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee. Lord, let me
close with this last passage from Hebrews chapter 2. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Amen. You're dismissed.